I just pray for a breakdown of hard hearts right now. Any place that's calloused, any place that's hard, any place where there's doubt, I just pray for a breaking of doubt right now in your name, Jesus. That doubt would leave and faith would rise in this room. That somebody just got hit with your Holy Spirit for the first time and they felt a crack in the armor. They felt a crack in that stone over their heart. And I just pray that you would continue to break the crack as we continue to sow the seed of your word, that that seed would just pound against that hard place. And it would just go time after time and time again until finally the stone breaks and water begins to run wild. Lord Jesus, may the water of your spirit run wild in here today. May you fill us. May we be clouds filled with rain today. And may we pour out into every place we go, into all the dry places. May people's drought end as we walk into a room this week, as they experience the floodwater of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Let's lean in today. Lean in. Hey, we might have lost our slides. I don't know what's going on. We've had some power issues. Text Rev Notes. Rev Notes to 94,000. And if I lose my microphone again, somebody tell me out there. I'll steal Steph's. Hey, we are in Jude. The message title today, Five Signs of a Rebel. Five Signs of a Rebel. We live in a culture that celebrates rebels, that celebrates rebellion. In fact, really, we live in a country. We were born out of rebellion. And sometimes we get into this mindset. We love to praise rebellion. We love that. We love that idea of rebelling against authority. But when you look at God's word, all authority comes from him. And so I just want to warn you today, if you got rebellion in your heart, that Jesus wants to reshape that. He wants to break that off of you. He wants you walking in alignment with his word. There's a place for rebellion. It's when we are under authority that is clearly outside of God's will and commandments. We see that in the life of Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. We see it in the life of Esther. When a king or a person in power commands someone to go out of alignment into disobedience of God's word, that is the place of holy rebellion. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about unholy rebellion. Number one, when we look at Jude, rebels are born in doubt. Jude, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, those who doubted. If you know the Exodus story at all, you know that there was time and time again of doubt. Every time when Moses was trying to lead the people, there was just these moments where all it takes is one person, right? All it takes is one person to complain, to grumble, to be bitter, and all of a sudden, just a little bit of complaining and a little bit of bitterness grows into doubt really quick. And it feels good not to be alone, right? So it feels good to pull somebody else in with your struggles. When you got some doubts and you got some bitterness and you got some anger, it just feels good to start to surround yourself with other like-minded people. That's what you tell yourself, right? And then you tell yourself, this is just, you know, I'm just venting. I'm not complaining, I'm venting. No, you're not. You're sowing division. That's what you're doing. I know because I've done it. I know because I worked in a church for 13 years and I didn't realize it, but I was a rebel and I sowed division. I was so good at doing it though in a very holy manner. People just they'd sit down and listen to me and they'd be like, oh, you're right. Oh, this is, oh, you're so right. And I was good. I was good at it. Really, I was. It was bad. I was a rebel and I was sowing division within a church. And so that's something I've had to repent of in this season because I didn't understand authority. I didn't understand the biblical principle of coming undercover and having a spiritual covering and submission to authority. I didn't understand that. Sometimes when it was nice, when it favored me, when authority was, you know, doing what I wanted it to do and speaking what I wanted it to speak and saying what I wanted it to say, then I'd kind of come back in under the roof. But anytime they started to speak something I didn't like or I didn't agree with, I would just sneak out from under the roof over here, and I would just go, and I'd start to look for who else is outside of the roof, or who else is on the edge of the house that I could kind of pull out with me and get on my side, because it feels good not to be alone. It feels good to pull others in with you, and so you kind of start talking and looking and looking for those connections, and before you know it, you're leading a rebellion inside of a church, inside your workplace, inside your home, inside your family. Where is it that he's placed you and he's asked you to trust the cover that he's placed over you in your life? Don't let doubt creep in and get a foothold. That's what doubt does. Jesus never once praises doubt. He praises faith. Two times in the gospel accounts, he praises faith. One is the faith of the centurion. Go with me here, Matthew 8. I'm jumping way ahead of my notes. If you're on my notes, I'm jumping way ahead. Matthew 8, verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority." I also am a man under authority. Who is he saying this to? He's saying it to Jesus. What does that word "also" mean? It means he understands that Jesus, the Son of God, is also under authority. He is submitted to the Father. Even Jesus was under authority. He submitted himself to the Father. "Having soldiers under me, I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." He was in authority because he was under authority. If you're taking notes, write that down. It'll change your life. Some of you, you want to be in authority. You want to walk in authority, but you refuse to come under authority. Can I share a lesson? I love you. I'm just prefacing that right now. It's something that God's been teaching in our home. Because I was a rebel, and I lived how I wanted to live, and I didn't understand this spiritual concept. We have this book for sale out there. It's called Undercover. It's by John Bevere. It's one of the very first books I started reading when God called us to plant a church. And it has changed my life. It's changed my view of leadership. It's changed my view of the church. In my previous life, I read so many books on leadership, but they were not spirit-filled. They were by Christian authors. I read all kinds of Christian authors telling you what they kind of thought about leadership. I mean, I had a library full of books, and I look at them now, and I'm like, they're firewood. They're nothing compared to when you get under a spirit-filled teacher, a man of God filled with the Holy Spirit. There's men and women out there that are walking in a fullness of the Holy Spirit, and they're receiving revelation from him. Today, some of you got a revelation from the Lord. As Steph was leading us through that moment of communion, and you were looking at Jesus, and she said, "What's he saying to you right now?" Hold on to that. What was that phrase you heard him saying in that moment? That was a revelation. That was a revelation. There's personal revelation that he wants to give his sons and daughters. And in this hour of the world, he's pouring it out on his people. He's pouring it out. Will you receive? Will you receive what he has for you? Will you spend time with him? Will you come into a moment, into his presence to encounter him? Because I promise you, if you do, if you come in under his authority, he will give you revelation and it will change your life. Let me tell you about the revelation we received in this season. I read this book Undercover, and I started to realize everything I thought I knew about leadership, everything I thought I understood, it was useless in comparison to what God's word will teach us. And some of these guys, they would take Bible verses and things, and they would teach some good principles about leadership. But 100 books wasn't worth the one. And when I read Undercover, because I understood that because I wasn't under authority, I couldn't walk in my authority. I couldn't. And so in this season of leading a church, in the very beginning of this church, it was really tempting to say, I don't have this guy looking over my shoulder anymore. I don't have this person looking over my shoulder. I don't have this person telling me what to do anymore. In the very beginning, it felt really good to just be like, I can do my own thing. I can do what I want to do. I see you over there. I got you. Come on. Come on. Sub me out. We don't know what's going on with this body pack. All right. Here we go. It felt really good. And it was tempting in that season to say, I'm just going to keep going this way. I don't have anybody telling me anything that I don't want to hear anymore, that I don't like, nothing. But as I kept reading this book undercover, I just kept feeling more and more compelled by the Holy Spirit and by people speaking into my life that I knew cared about me. And I felt this. I needed to find a place that I could get planted in and get under somebody's spiritual covering for protection, for wisdom, for pastoring. Because I can't pour from an empty cup. I was fine for a season. I could have been fine for a season and done it on my own. But eventually, if I'm not being pastored, if Steph and I aren't being pastored as leaders of this church, eventually we're going to be pouring out from an empty cup. We're going to be dried out because we got nobody pouring back into us, nobody covering us in prayer, nobody caring for us, nobody walking with us through those hard times, through those difficult moments. And so what I did early on is I felt compelled to step into this group called Next Level Church, because everything I kept seeing, the Holy Spirit just kept opening door after door. And I saw the fruit of what was happening there. I saw the fruit of this church in Lincoln and these pastors, Pastor Matt and Carrie Erickson, who were pastoring and caring for people. And I saw Holy Spirit moving in that place like I hadn't seen in any other church in Nebraska. And I said, that's the place I want to be planted. I want to be planted under people where I can see the fruit of the Holy Spirit being produced. And I can see miracles happening. I can see lives being transformed, because I came out of a place where I didn't really always see that. I saw a lot of dry bones. I saw a valley of dry bones. I saw people getting saved and finding Jesus and then finding nothing when it came to life to the full. Nobody knew how to walk out life to the full after that. And it was just, hey, just wait till you die and you get to go to heaven. I didn't want that. I didn't want that for this church. I didn't want that for my life. I didn't want that for my marriage. And so we stepped in undercover. And we started to get revelation. We started to see how you can lead a church together and how you can walk in the fullness. But what it looks like to submit to that spiritual covering in your life. And so he just kept giving me revelation to revelation of that time after time. And I'll never forget this one moment. Last fall, we were in the kitchen. We were getting everybody ready for school. And in this season, there were so many moments where Steph and I both were learning what it meant to walk undercover and what that actually looked like in our marriage. And there was a difficult moment with some of our kids one morning. And I remember she was trying to discipline them, and one of them was not being respectful. He's being disrespectful. And it was just a really hard moment. And she looked at me frustrated and just in despair, like, and just kind of mad and frustrated by this whole thing. And I told her, I love you, but I can't help you. You want to walk in authority over your kids, but right now you're having a hard time even trusting me as the authority in this family. And right now I know there's a lot of people in here saying, wow, that's a stupid thing to say to your wife. I bet she was mad. She was mad. She was. It was one of the hardest conversations I've ever had with you. But I love you and I know you, and I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to challenge you in that moment. That if you'll trust me in this season, that God was bringing me up into the spiritual leader I was supposed to be, but I never knew how to be in our home. I said, if you'll trust me and come under my authority, Because here I am over here. Here's the kids over here. And you're trying to still do things the old ways. Because those were the only ways we knew how. And sometimes the only ways we know how, it's hard to leave those behind. Because it's all we've seen. And we just lean into them because it's comfortable. And it's a way to cope. And we just kind of hold on to those old ways because we don't want to let them go. Because stepping into something new can be scary and frightening because you have to put your trust and faith into it. And I told her in that moment, please just begin to trust. That if you'll begin to trust me, I'm following him. I'm trusting him. If you'll trust me, he's going to provide and he's going to raise you up into authority. And I'm telling you, that was one of the hardest conversations. But ever since that moment, our marriage has never been the same. The first couple years of learning how to lead a church together were difficult and challenging. And I think we kind of tried to just hide it from the church and we just kind of tuck it to our pastors and we kind of leaned into them for that season because we know they had walked it out already. And they just kept praying for us, encouraging us, pastoring us, loving us, challenging us when we needed to be challenged. But it's taken us into one of the most beautiful seasons we've ever known. We didn't know it could be this good. And so I'm telling you that today to encourage some of you. I know there's some wives in here today that are struggling to trust what God is doing and speaking into your husband's life. And I just want to encourage you, as he's walking with the Holy Spirit, as he's coming into the Holy Spirit's presence, he's going to give him vision. He's going to give him revelation. He's going to turn him into the man that's called to lead your homes. Just learn to trust. And as you trust, as you come under authority, God will raise you up in authority. In this season, as Steph has learned what it means to walk in unity together in leadership, he's raising her up in this house. I know you didn't want this sermon to be about you today. She hates this, but I'm telling you this. The more you let go of trying to do things on your own, and trying to grasp for it and claw for it and trying to just walk in authority out of your own power and strength, as soon as you let go and step undercover, all of a sudden, what does he do? He lifts you up into every place and every space that you wanted. Everything that you were desiring, as soon as you submit, as soon as you step into submission, what happens? He lifts you up. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He asked, if there's another way, please give me another way. But in the end, he submitted to the Father. What did the Father do? He raised him up. He raised him up. And so in this next season, I just want to encourage somebody in here. If you've been grasping for something, if you've been clawing for something, and you've been trying to do it out of your own power, if you would just step from outside the house, inside the house, if you'd step back in undercover in whatever area he has placed you in, if you'll begin to trust him and submit and honor to that authority, whoever it is, would you just trust that he'll raise you up at the right time? He's raising Steph up into a pastor in this house. Some of you guys, maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't know that, but she's becoming a pastor in this house because she's learning how to lead this church together in unity. She's not grasping or clawing for anything anymore. She's walking with the Holy Spirit, and she's walking undercover. I hope that encourages a marriage in here today. I hope that encourages a husband and a wife today to keep going. Even in those hard moments, even in those difficult moments, will you keep going? Will you keep moving forward and keep fighting for unity? Unity is not easy. Unity is something that you fight for. But he commands his blessing to the place of unity. Where there's unity, it says he commands his blessing in the Psalms. So we fight for unity in this house. There might be something you're not quite sure about. You don't know. Keep having the difficult conversations. Keep having the tough conversations. Don't just hide it. Don't just bury it. Don't just go and complain or get bitter about it somewhere else. No, no, no. Have the difficult conversations. They might be awkward. They might be weird. I can't even tell you how many difficult conversations we've had, but he's brought us into a place where we've learned how to walk in a greater place of unity than we ever knew possible in our house. And now in this next season, I'm telling you, that unity is going to pour out into everyone in this house. Our entire house is going to be blessed, but we had to go first. That's what he does. Leaders go first. He called us to lead this house together because this house doesn't just need a spiritual father, it needs a spiritual mother. And he's raising us up to do that together, to walk it out in this season. Says in his word that husband and wife become one flesh. Their spirits are joined together. And I'm telling you today, you and your spouse, if you're in here today, he wants to join you together in a new sense and a new place of unity that you never knew possible. If you'll receive it today, he's got that for you. But don't let doubt creep in. Don't let doubt win out. Gee, I got a lot more points to go. That was point one. Rebels are born in doubt. It was born in doubt. In Egypt, when they came out, doubt crept in. Number two, rebels leave home. Rebels leave home. Jude 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode. That's what they did. They left the place that God had created for them, that he had called them to. Genesis 6, 1 through 8. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you, but you see the story of when the angels left their proper place and they went down, and it says they laid with the daughters of men. They left the place God had created for them, had called them to. They left it and went to the domain, to the home of men, and they laid with the daughters of men. Rebels don't stay where they're called to stay. Point three, rebels worship sex. Jude 6 through 7, why did angels come down? To lay with the daughters of men. At the heart of their rebellion was sexual sin. What is sexual sin? Matthew 19, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife or just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? First of all, Jesus, he's establishing sex and gender. Every question, every doubt that's been brought up in our society, in our world today, guess what? God made them male and female. You're not what you feel like. You're not what you just, oh, I feel like I'm this, so I'm this now. No. He made you male. He made you female. If you have any doubts about that, if you realize, oh man, I got kids that are kind of struggling with that, don't just give in and say, well, I want to make my kids happy. No. You want to teach your kids truth, and that will bring them joy. Joy will last. Happiness for a moment will not last. It won't last. It won't change anything. It's a spiritual condition. It needs to be solved spiritually. They need to get back to a spiritual truth about who they are, who they've been created to be. You cannot help them through the physical world, that gender dysphoria, anything happening there, homosexuality, transsexuality, all of it. It's a physical problem that we keep trying to solve physically. No, that's a lie from the devil. It's a spiritual issue, and it needs to be solved spiritually. He's got the cure. Stop trying to solve spiritual problems with physical solutions. They will not last. Go to his word. Begin to speak the truth of God's word over your kid. If your kid is struggling with that, if they're struggling with homosexuality, if they're struggling with their gender, begin to speak the truth of the word of God, the truth of the word of Jesus right here. What's he say? He made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. A man shall be joined to his wife. Male and female shall be joined together. Not male and male. Not female and female. And let me just tell you something. If you struggle in that area, if you have temptation in that area, he's a healer. He wants to heal you. If you have family, if you have friends that struggle in those areas, don't lie to them. That's what the world has done. The world said, no, let's just kind of cover this up. Let's twist it. Let's just kind of change it. Let's just say that's not actually what God's word says. No, that's what his word says. Jesus is the word. He says it right here. You can find it all throughout his word. Hiding the problem doesn't heal the problem. It won't heal anything. But if we begin to speak truth, the truth of his word over these issues, over these spiritual conditions, it will begin to change and transform and unlock chains. Speak truth. They'll be joined, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the marriage bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Jude specifically brings up Sodom and Gomorrah here. What was going on in Sodom? Genesis 19, verse 1. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. He invited them in. And they said, no, we'll spend the night in the open square. He insisted that they turn in and enter into his house. Now, before they lay down, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally, sexually. God's word is clear. Jude is bringing it up here. Jude's bringing it up, and he's not dancing around it. He's very clear. Any sexual relationship outside of the covenant of husband and wife. In Ephesians, Paul says there should not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Let me tell you something. God is maturing this church in this season, and it has to do exactly with this area. We're going back to a place where sex is honored in the covenant of marriage, and everything outside of it, we're beginning to see and realize the truth of his word, that anything outside of sex between husband and wife in marriage is disobedience to the Father. And so I just want to encourage you today, if that's you, if you're here in this place, you might be feeling some conviction right now. Don't let shame or guilt own the day. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to shame you and guilt you and try to get you to hide, or he wants to get you offended and angry and mad and saying, I don't care what they have to say, I'm walking out. You can be mad all you want. You can be mad at me. People want to get mad at me. No, it's God's word. It doesn't change. It hasn't changed. It won't change. But people keep trying to change it. People keep trying to cherry pick. People keep trying to do a little buffet. In a little bit, we're going to have a meal out here. We're going to have a nice buffet of food. You can pick and choose whatever you want from that food. You can't do that with his word. If you don't like cranberry sauce, great. Don't get cranberry sauce. Some of you, you're getting some cranberry sauce right here. You don't like it. It doesn't taste that good. Let it change you. Let it transform you. It's fruit. It's good for you. I hate cranberry sauce. It's all right. He loves you. He cares for you. This house, I told you a couple weeks, we want you to be loved, so you can be known, and then so you can be challenged. We've been having some of those conversations with people in our house about what sex should look like and how God created it and intended it, and it's because we love you and we know you. And we've challenged some people in our house recently, and guess what? They responded. They said yes to Jesus. They didn't say yes to Steph and I. They didn't say yes to our pastors. They didn't say yes to our leadership. They said yes to Jesus. They felt the conviction and the transformation that he was calling them to and the holiness. He is holy. Therefore, be holy as he is holy. That's what he wants for you. And some of you, you're feeling a little stirred up right now, a little convicted, a little like, that's me. He's calling me out right now. He knows. He knows I live with my girlfriend. He knows I live with my boyfriend. Let me tell you something. I love you, and I love you too much not to tell you this, because God will bless you. If you honor his word, he will bless you. I've seen it in our marriage. I've seen it in other marriages in this house. When you honor his word, when you honor the things of God and do things his way and not your own way, he will bless you. He will, and he will heal you. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. This is our world today. There's a lot of people, a lot of professors, a lot of doctors, a lot of people with PhDs saying they're wise, saying they know the best way, and they're just trying to solve a spiritual problem with a physical solution, and it's not changing a thing. The suicide rates aren't changing. When you look at those struggling with gender dysphoria, they aren't changing when they make the physical change. It doesn't matter because it's a spiritual issue and it needs to be solved through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. If you keep leaning into what you want and your desires, eventually God just gives you up. He says, go ahead. This is what you want. It's what He did with the prodigal son. The prodigal son, I want my inheritance. I want everything right now. And God just gave it to him and said, okay, there you go. I'm taking my hands off you. I can't help you out there in the world. I can help you here in my home, but I can't help you out in the world. What did the prodigal son find when he went outside the father's gates? When he took his inheritance, he found himself living in a pigsty, eating pig slop. And he looked back and said, it would be better to be a servant in my father's house. And there's some of you today, you need to understand that. You keep trying to do things outside of His will and His way for your life. I don't want you to end up in that place. I want you to figure it out before you get to that place. I want you to figure it out before your marriage gets completely destroyed and your kids' lives get turned upside down. I want you to figure it out right now. Just live in the Father's house. He loves you. He cares for you. He invites you back in. That's repentance when you come back to the Father's house. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. That's what we do when we worship sex, when we put sex on a pedestal, when we worship it through porn, homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, anything that is outside of sex between husband and wife. We worship the creature rather than the Creator. The Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Jesus wants to heal you, but He can't heal you outside of His house. Come back home. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's pornography, if it's masturbation, if it's lust, lustful thoughts, if it's homosexuality. Sometimes we as Christians, we get into this place where it's like, oh no, there's some sexual sin that's worse than others and they're the bad ones. Me, I'm just living with my girlfriend. That's not that big of a deal. No. Let me tell you something. There should not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Is that a hint? That's a hint. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've committed the sin. That's a hint. Repent. If there's a hint, repent. There you go. Hold that one. Number four, rebels reject authority. We see that here in Jude 8. Likewise also, these dreamers, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. That's what the people, the Israelites, were doing when they came out of Egypt. What were they doing? They were speaking evil of the man God had placed over them. They were grumbling and complaining about Moses, to Moses, about God, to Moses. They were just complaining and mad and bitter about everything. And they spoke evil of the one who God had placed there over them in authority. They reject authority based on dreams. They don't honor the authority of God's word. They don't honor those that God has placed in positions of authority. And they rebel by complaining. Who are you dishonoring right now? Who are you rebelling against right now in your life that God has placed over you? Who are you bitter towards that you need to repent of and turn back to the Lord and say, I'm sorry for my bitterness. I'm sorry for my anger. I'm sorry for complaining. I want to step out of rebellion and into submission to those that you've placed over me in my life. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That includes the parts that we don't like, that we disagree with, that we don't really feel that good about. And you can go out there and you can find all kinds of teachers that'll tell you what you want to hear. You can find lots of, I should say, teachers in quotes, going out there on Instagram and all these social media platforms, and there's lots of churches out there that wave rainbow flags, and they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. Oh, yeah, that's sin. But no, this isn't sin. You can do that. If it feels good, if that's how you feel, like, no. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. Choices lead, feelings follow. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust the flesh. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust His Word. You may not always feel good about it, but if it's in His Word, trust it and take a step of faith. And I'm telling you, He will change and transform your life. And eventually, your feelings will begin to come into alignment with what God loves, with what God desires. But it takes some difficult choices in the beginning to choose to repent from everything that you've been desiring, everything the world has told you will make you happy, will give you pleasure. It takes some hard choices in the beginning to turn from that. But when you start to know and realize that that's just pig slop and that you can turn back to the Father and come back to His home and live under His roof, under His authority again, it will change your life. It will transform you, and you won't look the same. Soon He'll change the desires of your heart. You won't desire those old things anymore. The old things that you used to love, that you used to think that you couldn't live without, you'll look at them and you'll despise them. You will hate the things that the Father hates. You will hate sexual sin. You will hate perversion. You'll hate lust. That's the difference. He wants to change the desires of your heart. Number five, rebels speak evil. Rebels gossip. Rebels slander. Rebels complain. They argue. They bicker. They're double-tongued. They say one thing to your face, but another behind your back. They'll partner up right beside you, it says here in Jude. They come right alongside you. They act as if you're friends. They'll speak evil about somebody else, but if they do this, you can be sure they'll do the same to you when you're not in the room. Rebels are never grateful. They're never satisfied, and they will never be promoted in the kingdom of God. They are divisive, and they are sons of the devil. 1 John 3, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sometimes we go around and we say, oh, everybody's a child of God. No. Look what 1 John says. Verse 5, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Sometimes we just go around and we say these things because it sounds nice. Oh, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Not yet. Not if they haven't turned back to Him. Not if they haven't repented. Not if they have said, if they haven't said, Jesus, you're Lord and Savior. If they haven't been born of the Spirit, they're a child of the devil. They are. Love them. Care for them. Speak truth to them. And I'm telling you, the truth of God's Word will break down hard hearts. There will be resistance. There will be rebellion, because that's what they are. They're rebels. But it doesn't matter. In Acts 18, it says Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with the Jews there, where he was placed at that time doing ministry. And he shared the gospel. And you know what it said? It said everybody received it and everybody, you know, turned to Jesus and repented and it was great. No, it doesn't. It says they hated him and despised him for it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will compel you to share the truth, and they will hate you for it. But it doesn't matter how they receive it. It matters that you were obedient to the Holy Spirit's voice in your life. Because you don't know what you're doing in that season. You might be the beginning. You might be the point of the shovel, the point of the spear beginning to break through the stone. And there might be resistance in the beginning, but I'm telling you, you're the point of the spear. You go ahead and you lead that way. And you know that when you do, you're breaking up hard soil. And somebody's going to come in behind you, and they'll be gentle. And they'll sow the seed, and they'll water. And all of a sudden, because you chose to go first and listen to the Holy Spirit, and you broke up the hard places, those people that come after you, when they sow the seed of God's Word, they're going to find soft soil because you went first and you listened to the Holy Spirit. Find joy and hope in that in this season. This is a church that goes first. This is a church that goes first. You're the point of the spear. Nate Baker's been sharing that phrase to me, and it's stuck in me right now. The point of the spear. Lead the way. Break up the hard places of dirt. They might not like it in the beginning. They might hate you and they might despise you for it. I told you, I went first. I went first with Steph a little bit over a year ago, and I shared something that was hard and was not received in that moment. But it was the beginning of something being broken and something being changed and transformed in our lives and our marriage. It broke up some hard places that needed to be broken. It might not be received, but walk in obedience in this season. It doesn't matter how it's received. It matters that you're obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When he compels you, speak. When he compels you, go. When he compels you, move. Worship team, I'll invite you up as we get ready to close. Number six, rebels run. Jude 12. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds like autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. These are these false teachers, these false prophets. They're like clouds without water. They go from place to place trying to seed more rebellion, to multiply, to grow. When Satan fell, he didn't go by himself. He took a third of heaven with him. At the heart of rebellion is loneliness, isolation, brokenness. Rebels don't want to be alone, but they don't know how to be with the Father. They want what they want more than they want to be with the Father. But to be with the Father, you don't get to be in his presence on your own terms. He's the Father, you're the Son. So rebels, repent. Number seven, rebels, repent. It's too late for Satan and his angels. There's no time left for them. But there's time for you. If you are in here today and you know you've been walking in rebellion, I just want to encourage you today. You don't have to be alone anymore. You don't have to live outside the Father's house. The rebels can come home. Rebels can repent. I did it. I came home. He broke rebellion off my life. I didn't even know I was a rebel. And he showed me and exposed it in my life. If he's doing that for you today, I just want to encourage you. Just ask him, Lord, break me all the way today. Break me all the way today. Just pray that simple prayer today. Just say, Lord, just break me all the way today. Anything that doesn't belong, I don't want it. Anything that's not of you, I don't want it. I don't want to be wandering in the wilderness 40 years. I want to step into the promised land with my kids. I want to step into the promised land. I don't want to complain. I don't want to grumble. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to chase sex more than I chase you. I don't want to chase the flesh more than I chase you. You don't have to be alone anymore. At the heart of rebellion, it's isolation. You just don't want to be alone. And you're trying to bring people along with you, but the Father is saying, no, we're here. Get planted in my house because there's a blessing and protection here. There's provision here. Everything you need is in the house. But if you go outside the house, if you go outside these walls and you try to do it on your own, I can't help you out there. It's like a dog returning to the vomit. It's like a man choosing to live in the pig pen. I can't help you out there. But the blessing is here in the house. Rebels, repent and come home today. Would you just stand as we worship? Our ministry team is going to be up here. If there's an area of your life where you know you've been walking in rebellion and you just want to say a simple prayer, you can say it right there in the chair by yourself. But if you feel the compelling presence of the Holy Spirit saying, no, you need prayer today. You need to move forward. We got our ministry team up here. Come up. Don't miss this moment to repent and turn back to him. Don't miss this moment to say yes to the Holy Spirit when he compels you. And let all that hard soil be broken off your life today in the name of Jesus. Let's worship.